Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day we study a story in the Bible together. And this week we're going to be studying the story of Moses meeting God at the burning bush. One of those iconic images, maybe you can kind of envision having heard that story at some point or seen it, in painting or something. It's a pretty foundational story because God gives his name at the burning bush. That's really important. Now, first of all, though, who's Moses? Well, Moses was an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down. So he was one of those people through whom God had said he was going to be blessing the world, part of that blessed family through whom God was going to change the world. Now, as we studied last week, the Israelites moved to the land of Egypt during the famine that Joseph managed really well in Egypt. Joseph invited his family, his brothers and all of their descendants, to come and join him in Egypt where he was prime minister. So they all joined him there. They had a place of honor and respect, obviously, being related to Joseph. But over the years, that faded away. With a new pharaoh, a new king, Joseph gone, all that was forgotten. And the Israelites actually became slaves. And this new pharaoh was trying to control their numbers and control their place in his society. There was concern. There were too many of them. They were going to get too powerful. And one of the ways he was doing that kind of population control was by ordering that all Israelite males that were born needed to be killed by midwives. And the midwives refused to do it and eventually made a rule that they needed to be thrown in the river. Well, when a particular boy named Moses was born, his mother, I guess, couldn't manage that idea. And so what she did is she put him in a basket and floated him down the river. I guess she was following the rule that said to throw them in the river, but she didn't do it to kill him. She did it in hopes that he would survive. And in fact, he did survive. He was picked up by a princess and raised in Pharaoh, the king's household. He was raised up in Egyptian circles, but knew that he was also a Jew. That's why one day when he saw an Egyptian brutally beating an Israelite, he stepped in and intervened. And when the Egyptian talked back to him, he actually killed the Egyptian, realized what he had done wrong and what that was going to bring down on him and his people. And so he actually fled to the land of Midian, where he sort of established a life for himself in exile from Egypt and from Israel. But that's where the story picks up today. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now God continued the conversation with Moses. We can't read it all here. It's long. But the one part I really want to highlight is that he gives Moses a job. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So there we have this incredible story of Moses just one day encountering a burning bush, a strange sight, and obviously being just a little perplexed by it at first. You know, I'll turn aside, this is weird, probably shouldn't hang around here for long, something weird happening. But God calls to him with a voice from this bush, which clearly makes Moses pay attention to it. God lets him know that this is a big moment. Take off your shoes. You are standing on holy ground. He's clearly drawing Moses into this encounter, but letting Moses know who's in charge. Letting Moses know that he is encountering a holy and perfect and all-powerful God, and Moses shouldn't get too high on himself. Now, you might read this story carefully and say, wait a minute, is it an angel? Is it God? Because it does use the term angel of God somewhere. But an angel, although you might have images of wings and things like that floating around in heaven, an angel in the Bible is primarily a messenger for God. It's somebody that God sends with a message, in the same way that the President of the United States might send an ambassador to speak for him. In that situation, in that negotiation with another country, that ambassador kind of is the president. They represent him. They speak for him. What they say represents the president's promise. So in the same way, we can kind of interchangeably say that this is God speaking from the bush, because he could use an angel as a messenger, an intermediary, and it would be the same thing in a way. So is it an angel? Is it God? In some ways, the story tells us it's both. It is an angel. It is God who calls himself the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's not just naming himself there, reminding Moses which God he is. I'm not the God of Egypt, I'm the God of Israel. But he's reminding Jacob, he's reminding Moses of the promise that he gave to Abraham, being passed on through the generations down to Moses, that there's a promise given by God to bless and change the entire world through this one special covenant people. He's reminding Moses that he's a God of promises, he's a God who keeps his promises. And he's going to ask Moses to do some really tough things. And he wants Moses to remember that God holds up his end of the promise all the time. So God commissions him to go back to Egypt, the place he fled, and to lead the people of Israel out of slavery. This would be exceedingly terrifying for Moses. First of all, he's exiled from there because he murdered somebody. He's known in Egypt. He was raised in the royal household. So he's known. He's not somebody who can easily hide. But God is asking him to go back and not to hide, but to become a leader, to lead people to freedom. Moses is not a confident man. He's not a powerful speaker. He's terrified of the practical aspects of this, but also just of the immensity of the task that God's asking of him. He doesn't know why people would follow him. He doesn't know why people would trust him. And so, he asks God for his name. He says, if I'm going to tell people you told me this, then tell me who you are. Now, it's a little strange. I don't quite know why he needs this. Clearly, God hasn't needed a name through all these generations yet. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob asked for a name, was told no. Why does Moses think this is going to be important? That the God who's never had a name before suddenly needs a name? I don't know. But either way, it seems like something God is willing to entertain because he gives him a name. He says, I am who I am. It sounds like a riddle, right? I am who I am, I ain't who I ain't. But it makes a lot of sense. This is God we're talking about. I am. It's an entirely suitable name for God. I just am. I don't need a name. I just am. I just exist. In a time where nothing else existed or needed or had a name, God was there. God didn't need a name for himself. You can imagine if you lived on a desert island, you were born there, you'd never known another human being your whole life, you just raised yourself. Would you really name yourself? Probably not. You were the only one of your kind. You might name all the other things, but you wouldn't have any need to name yourself, because you weren't confusing yourself with other people. The same way, God doesn't need a name, he just is. He just always existed, he exists now. Everything else exists because of him, he just is. So he calls himself, I am. Now in your English Bibles, you may see other things. You might see the Lord in all capital letters. You'll see that throughout the Bible. That's out of respect for Jews who don't say those words, I am, and don't write them. You'll see sometimes a Jewish person writing G-D for God. This name is so powerful, so important. They don't want to risk ever blaspheming, ever abusing, misusing God's name. And so they're overly careful, overly cautious with the name by not writing it, not saying it. That's why in a lot of English Bibles, you'll see the Lord in capital letters. When you see that, it's code for I am. It's God saying I am, which in Hebrew was Yahweh, or sometimes it's transliterated as Jehovah. These are all meaning the same thing. I am Yahweh, Jehovah, the capital Lord. All mean the same thing. They mean the God who just is. So here's your question for today. Why do you think God appeared to Moses in such a particular way? Why with fire? Why give a name? Why communicate with Moses in this way? Have a great discussion. Don't do it alone. Share it with somebody else. I'll see you tomorrow.